The other day, I was thinking about all of the terminologies and phrases that people have used to describe the days and times in which we're living. You hear phrases like the end time, the latter times, or the last days, or even perilous times. But as I was reading some of the writings of Paul, I come up with a term that Paul used, and I think that it would rightly describe the times in which we're living. The term that Paul used was high time. High time, I think that adequately describes the time in which we're living. High time, Paul says, it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. High time. It's high time that we awake out of our sleep. It's high time that we prayed like never before. It's high time that we forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. It's high time that we read the scriptures more and more. It's high time that we enter into our closet to pray. It's high time that we turn our eyes on Jesus. Yes, the days in which we're living is high time days. It's lesson time now. Scoot up your chair and lean in. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. I'll begin reading. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he stopped praying, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. What a request! These disciples of our Lord knew that John had taught his disciples to pray. And now we find one of those disciples of our Lord was asking Jesus to do the same thing, to teach them to pray. Is it possible for a pastor or a church leader to teach people how to pray? To teach people the way they ought to pray? This disciple, whatever his name may be, made a wise request, wiser than the one that Solomon made when God offered him whatever he wanted. Solomon asked for wisdom. Here we find a disciple of Jesus saying, teach us to pray. How did Jesus respond? He said, when you pray, say this, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In another place, Luke records these words of the Master, that men ought always to pray and not faint. Jesus goes on to say, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Pray that you enter not into temptation. And then again Jesus says, when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you have shut your door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and your Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly. If you have aught against any, forgive, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. And then he says, pray you therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. The Lord has never told us to pray for the harvest. He's never told us to pray that there would be a harvest of souls. He says, lift up your eyes and look upon the fields. They are ready for harvest. The harvest is there. What we need is workers. Workers in the harvest, that none of the harvest be lost. Today, preachers and politicians are throwing out some sobering words to describe the perils of this hour in which we are living, which is so dark morally, spiritually, and politically. No longer is socialism merely creeping over the earth, but rather it is leaping over it. It is no longer whispered in secret. It is shouted from the housetop. Socialism is no longer just a subject talked about by intellectual derelicts. It has become a respectable fellow traveler on this road of life. No longer is the socialist a ragged minority. It is a well-dressed society, maneuvering some of the greatest scientific brains in the world. It is no longer an over-the-wall group of upstarts, but it is those that sit at the conference tables of the world councils, not asking questions, but stating policies, not just bantering, but belligerent. This cancer of socialism have spread until it covers almost three-quarters of the earth. All of this adds up to a terrifying picture. We may well cry out, watchman, what of the night? Never has there been a need for trumpeters on Zion's walls to sound a loud blast to sleeping believers than at this moment. Many Christians right now are hanging their hearts on the willows and crying, how shall we sing the song, the Lord's song, in a strange land? This hour is for men of faith. In the Old Testament, the three Hebrew children had a defiant faith. They cried, our God is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Of God's ability, they had no doubt. Though his plans, they were not quite sure. As a matter of fact, God did not choose to deliver them from the furnace, but in it, their faith had gone beyond getting into the fire. They said, our God is able to deliver us from the burning furnace, but if not, be it known unto you, O King, that we will not serve your God, nor worship the golden image. In the New Testament days, iron gates yielded to an angel's touch when prayer was made without ceasing unto God for Peter. On one hand, faith is a tender plant, easily bruised, but on the other hand, the faith that God gives us is as sturdy as an oak that will not bow down before the storm. Faith honors God. God honors faith. Biblical faith can do all that God can do because its sole desire is God's glory. It will not ask anything amiss. Biblical faith is longing for the return of the glory that has departed from the temple. Biblical faith is wedded to love, which seeketh not her own. Biblical faith yearns that the world might know the message of redeeming love, and desires that millions be unfettered from the chains of sin. Biblical faith has compassion on these. This faith, this biblical faith that I am talking about, Jesus said, comes about by fasting and praying. Before I step away from the microphone, I would like to ask you, is it wrong for me to pray that the God who came in power to those in the upper room, those defeated people on the day of Pentecost, and by their means turned the world upside down? Is it wrong for me to pray that God would come in power in this dark generation and do again His mighty works? I think not. We as Christians should pray that God would once more come in His holy power and help us to again turn this world upside down.